Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan McNeil. Danny Parkins.
Oh, here we go.
Afternoons on the Score.
I was being blamed by some listeners for the stench in the freezer. Les was ranting and raving and railing against the state of our refrigerator.
This is basically the way I would describe this fridge here.
I don't understand.
I don't get it. This is how I would describe the fridge, and you have train crossing sound effect. Runaway train? What? I mean,
he's railing against it.
You don't like it? Bite me.
Yeah, that didn't make a whole lot of sense. But when it's 3:30 in the morning, you're going to find out pretty soon. You want to hear a train wreck? Play the scene from Mark Grody's favorite movie, The Fugitive. It is unmistakably a train wreck.
Well, you got to get some new boots.
I told you not to wear the heels.
I want you to wear two coats.
Whoa, next train wreck.
This is basically the way I would describe this fridge here.
What the hell was that?
Even has a grin out of Zach Withers on that one.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
Neil and Parkin Show, afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
Now that's a train wreck.
That's the litmus test when you get Zach Withers to grin.
Yes.
Then you know. It's official.
I felt badly. Les came in last night. I had 1 hour left in the national show, and he said, you know, you can stop by if you'd like to do a segment at 1 when you're off the air. And I said, Les, I'll consider it, yeah. But I am very, very tired.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and scrub the aquarium gravel.
You got
stuck for an hour almost last time.
I know, but and I'll do
That's
it sometimes.
That's the reason why, right?
I was just tired. It was not going to happen.
Are you tired today after your second 4-hour national flight?
I feel okay. You know, plenty of football this weekend. I didn't really do anything other than watch football and do radio. So you know.
Yeah, but I'm sure that you can't just turn it off right away when you get home.
No.
Get off the air at 1 o'clock. You need at least an hour to decompress.
Yeah, I probably didn't fall asleep till 2:30 in the morning. I would say, which is definitely later than I normally go.
A couple hours before I get up every day.
Yeah. Well,
that's father and son radio, ladies and gentlemen.
I was in bed. I set my alarm for 9 a.m. Snooze to about.
I can't remember the last time I got up at 9. That's funny.
Danny's a
good lord. 9 o'clock. If I'm waking up at 9 o'clock, I'm like, oh my god, something went terribly wrong. What's happening?
I mean, I was up until 2:30 in the morning. I didn't get off the air until 1 a.m.
I got it, but the three of us all in unison were like, oh my god, 9 o'clock alarm.
Yeah. Oh, trust me. I was like, I'll wake up and wake up.
You
and transition.
Really have to set an alarm for 9?
Oh yeah. I could have been in bed until 11 a.m. this morning, no problem.
I don't need to set an alarm past 6:30 ever. I mean, I could go to bed at midnight, 1 o'clock, but 6:30, I'm up. Jeez.
I mean,
good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Enjoy it while you got it.
Thank you. I have no responsibilities other than to my wife, my dog, and this job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I do.
What's on your viewing pleasure for tonight?
True Detective.
You need to watch both episodes.
That won't be a problem.
HBO offered episodes 1 and 2 last night, and I can't wait to go home to watch both of them a second time. It's back. You think True Detective, ladies and gentlemen, is back.
I can't wait.
Tanny, is that your the short description of it?
Yeah, basically, I think they went back to the formula that made them so successful in season one. They stripped it down from what they did in season two, where it was a lot of bells and whistles with the, you know, the A-list actors. They stripped it down, got back to more storytelling and just the macabre in general. You know, like, I really think it's going to be good.
I can't wait. I mean, season two was awful, but season one was some of the most riveting television I've ever seen.
For the benefit of those of you who didn't see it yet, you got it packed away. Watch it tonight, and Parkins is going to do the same thing. We'll get into the nuts and bolts of it more tomorrow. When I speak of it today, I will not give anything away, but what Tanny said is right. It's back to that the first year you have, and it's one of those, again, where you do need the rewatch, because there are three different time frames you're juggling. You're juggling current day, events of 1990, and events of 1980, and it's constant back and forth. So a second watch is a great idea.
I can't wait.
And I was not besmirching Mahershala Ali, because he's an Oscar winner, right?
Yes, I believe. He won an Oscar.
So, yeah, so I'm not saying that he's not an A-list actor, but what I'm saying
he's
is...
He's the only A-list actor.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, he doesn't have the star power that, like, quote, Vince Vaughn and Colin Farrell have.
Yeah.
But he's a great actor, and he just settles into the role, and he's not distracting as those other two guys were in the previous season. So.
And he's in Green Book, which is getting a lot of critical acclaim this year. I know it was nominated at the Golden Globes and is maybe going to be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars.
Actor.
So, yeah. I mean, that would be, he would be the lead of a Best Picture nominee two of the last three Academy Awards. So he's absolutely an A-list actor right now. I can't wait to see it. I think he's fantastic. I love the show.
He also had a nice part of Hidden Figures, which is a great movie in the last several years.
Yeah, he was in House of Cards. And, you know,
I didn't recognize one other actor in the first two episodes, not one.
His partner, help me out with this. Stephen Dorff is his partner on the show. I recognized him, and that was about it.
I can't wait. I can't wait to watch. I will watch it tonight and be ready to report back tomorrow.
Similar dynamic with the partnership too between the two main guys to what you had with Woody and Matt the first time through. Yeah,
they're
different guys.
Okay, I can't wait. I cannot wait. This hour on the Score brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. How much when you guys were watching football this weekend were you doing it through the prism of the Bears?
It started early. For me, it started in the first game on Saturday.
See, I wasn't doing it in the AFC games, but I was doing it in both NFC games.
Well, especially the first one, because you know the Rams weren't going to run like that on the Bears. They couldn't get one guy going when they played here. They didn't score a touchdown against the Bears. Scored 6 points the whole night, and they had two guys better than 100.
Watching Cowboys Rams, it felt like the Bears were clearly better than both teams.
I was stunned how poorly Dallas defended. Just absolutely stunned they didn't show better than that.
And I get that the Rams were coming off of a bye, and the bye has proven to be a huge advantage in the NFL playoffs, and Gurley was fresh, and C.J. Anderson is a great story, and they have an awesome system. So there's no doubt in my mind that if the Bears would have played that game, it was not going to be 15-6 like it was at Soldier Field in the cold with all the turnovers. Like, it would have been a higher-level game from the Rams, but there's nothing you could do to convince me to say that the Rams are running for 275 yards against the Bears.
No, never would have happened. So sure, the NFC teams, I see why you would focus more on that, because that's the conference in which the Bears reside. But I do think these final four who will go at it this coming Sunday, similarly to the college format, they got it right. These are the best four teams in the NFL who are playing this weekend.
I think it's hard to argue against that, right? The 2-1 seeds, the 2-2 seeds, and the top four scoring teams in the NFL. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
Points per game in the NFL playing on Championship Sunday. And I know you are...
Where's your defense now, Mackie?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think it means that defense doesn't matter. Obviously, we saw what a great defense could do for the Bears, and they were the 3 seed, and I just said I thought that they were the better team than the Rams. So I'm not dismissing defense out of hand.
Right. Well, and the Chiefs defense is every bit as responsible for that as their offense.
Oh, the Chiefs defense.
They smothered Andrew Luck.
They were incredible. They looked like they were ready to play, and the Colts looked 2 steps slow the whole game. But didn't it feel like this was by design by the NFL? Like, the NFL got exactly what it wanted with the rule changes if you go back to the offseason.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
We want scoring to go up. We want our quarterbacks to be healthy. We want to see the best teams playing in the biggest games. And at the end of the season, you get all these teams with, you know, so Carson Wentz is hurt again for Philly. But for the most part, you get star franchise quarterbacks, record-setting
guys. The MVP of the league is going to play at home on Championship Sunday. Mr. Everything, the greatest dynasty of all time, Tom Brady, is not dead yet. Yeah, this is perfect.
You know, three of the top offensive coaches in the game in Reed, Peyton, and McVay, the best coach in the game in Belichick, couple of Hall of Famers in Breeze and Brady, this year's MVP in Mahomes. It's, you get the one seeds, you get the two seeds, and if you go back now in the last years, it's like nine of the last 10 have been one seeds. The last 12 Super Bowl participants have had byes. It's just some of the old tropes of, you know, defense wins championships or parity.
Defense travels. How about that one?
Yeah.
That's your 21st century NFL slogan.
Defense travels.
Defense travels.
Or what about any given Sunday? We keep seeing the teams that get a bye making it to the AFC and NFC championship game in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the top seeds playing out. And I personally like that. Now, obviously, I was rooting for the Bears as a three seed, and that would have taken a mild upset. But if it's not going to be the team that I'm rooting for, I want to see the best teams play.
Understood. So do I.
You know, it's not, to me, it's not about, oh, the 9-7 team got hot. Like, that's not what I'm here
so
for.
So do I. I do get tired of championship reigns, but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy watching them play. Look, the most impressive offensive team of the weekend for me, forget the Chiefs. They were great, too. Forget the Rams and the running game that I like from a century long ago. What the Patriots did was surgical.
Oh, first four drives, four touchdowns. Tom Brady,
amazing.
He wasn't hit in the first half. He wasn't hit.
Yeah.
Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. He's 41 years old with a sprained MCL, yeah. And they didn't hit him.
And he's playing with an edge. There were a few people who I've heard question whether he still has that same burning desire deep in his belly. After the game, when he's interviewed, he said, yeah, well, I suck anyway. We suck anyway. So I guess we'll do the best, something to that effect. So he's obviously motivated by the discussion that's made the rounds. And it did make the rounds. All of us were saying, these aren't your uncle's Patriots. These aren't, you know. Well, guess what? Not dead yet. Mad Dog fighting with a wall against their backs. They're not dead yet.
You going to pick them next week?
I might.
I won't.
I might.
Well, I know you're not.
I don't
to.
Know what the number is.
It's three.
I haven't looked.
Oh, sorry. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm I don't need a spoiler alert on a point spread.
I was kidding.
Yeah.
It's three.
No, after the latest moon pounding, I don't even want to think about it. It'd be a good week to take a bye week, but then I'd be compromising my opportunities. There's only three games left.
Yeah, except it's Championship Sunday.
I won't be taking a bye. I'll be playing both games, I'm sure.
It's so ridiculous how bad we are.
Everybody's bad. Everybody's betting favorites, and only one of them covered. That's the right? Or no? Did any?
Only one.
Well, I'm sorry. Only one didn't. Right.
Yeah.
So we go to dogs this weekend and get burned.
Right.
And then privately, I had the Saints last night, and they didn't cover.
Yeah. Don't worry. My private bets were losers also. Yeah. Chargers in the under, not great when it's 35-7 out of a shoot. 35-7 Patriots. You got Chargers in the under.
I'm 1-6 in the playoffs. The only winner I had was San Diego at Baltimore. That's it. That's the only winner I had.
Thankfully, my biggest bet was under in Bears Eagles. So that's, and then I won pretty big on Clemson. So that's helping a little, but the rest of it's been a. So I've won my big bets, but every just one unit play that I've made,
yeah.
I think I've lost all of them.
Did you find the Saints and Eagles game to salvage the day because it was closer, or do you think it was still a lousy game, unsatisfying?
A little unsatisfying.
How about the end, specifically?
Well, it was sports schadenfreude.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I loved about it. I like to channel the worst parts of my personality through sports, like how I encourage sports hate. And, yeah, like, you take a little bit of misery in the demise and pain of others. And so, yeah, like, Alshon Jeffrey, he talked that junk about Chicago. The Eagles were the ones who beat him.
Yeah.
they were loving the Cody Parkey double doink, and then they've got the ball go right through his hands and the Eagles lose and we get rid of the Nick Foles story. Like, yeah, I was here for it.
Yeah, I don't think Alshon Jeffrey was a bad guy when he's here. I saw a lot of that last night in social media, people happy because he's a jerk. I don't know. He didn't produce as well as, you know, I think we thought he would after Brandon Marshall left. I think people thought that no problem, Jeffrey had arrived, and he really hadn't. He didn't want to be here. That's fine. To my knowledge, he's never done anything completely off the charts stupid, so I don't dislike Alshon Jeffrey, but there is some poetic justice in his hands being the reason the Eagles don't win that game, and I'm pretty sure they would have won it had he makes that catch. Had he made that catch, I should say. Past tense. He
yeah,
didn't
I mean,
make
they,
it.
They still needed to get in the end zone, so who knows. But
headline in the New York Post today was Butterfingers, and fingers was spelled with P-H-I in the capital P for
I like
Philadelphia.
That.
Yeah, Peter Schrager's sensibilities were offended by that. That's not cool. Yes, it is.
Wait, what do you mean it's not cool?
It's in New York. That's a rival
of the Eagles.
Goes
against his guy Foles, though.
That's probably
right.
Part of it. That's
didn't
not
get to
cool.
Live up to his Foles narrative that he's better than Joe Montana in the clutch.
Yeah, what's he going to do this coming weekend without the greatest postseason player of all time?
How you watch football without Nick Foles being involved?
Good luck to whatever franchise gives that guy a long-term deal of $20 million per. Good luck.
You think you'll get $20 million per? I don't think, as good as he's been in the playoffs, I don't think he's going to find a taker because people have seen what he is when he has that full season to paint on the big canvas, and it's not been pretty.
Well, and he, by the way, he wasn't that good in these playoffs. He was okay.
No, I thought he was only okay against the Bears, and some of the people yesterday were saying it again today. I'm hearing people say how good he was against the Bears down the stretch. And, you know, yeah, they scored a couple of touchdowns late to win the game, but you forget the whole package, and he wasn't all that good. It's like only remembering Trubisky's fourth quarter.
Yeah, Nick Foles, even in his quote-unquote good games, he still throws interceptions, and he puts the ball up for grabs, and by and large, they've come down with it and it's been fine. But I mean, there's a mutual option for $20 million for him to go back to Philly next year. I can't imagine Nick Foles exercises it because I assume he'll want to be a free agent. And so that would be, and I can't imagine the Eagles want to pay him $20 million for 1 year if they're going back to Carson Wentz. So my guess is he'll call the Raiders and the Jaguars and the Giants and he'll be a free agent and he'll say, who's going to pay me?
Jacksonville makes sense, does it not?
Yeah, they don't have a ton of cap space, but yeah, they make sense. I think there's lots of teams that'll talk themselves into a Super Bowl champion who has gotten hot at various points in his career and is, by all accounts, a really nice guy and a good leader and has all the intangibles. But
yeah, if only you could hire him from December on and not commit to the whole whack.
Yeah. Guy's got a career passer rating in the regular season of like 87.
I know.
He's average.
He's very mortal.
Yeah. So The idea of moving on from Nick Foles or moving on from Carson Wentz for Nick Foles just struck me as laughable. I was like, what are you guys watching him play?
Right, but it's obvious that Carson Wentz has a durability issue. Those are two huge injuries that he suffered in two seasons. Like, I don't think that that's something that just goes away.
Well,
like,
and go back to college. I mean, he got hurt in college, too.
Right.
He's had an injury of some degree of severity in four consecutive seasons of playing football.
Well, last Sunday, that pimple on the right side of his neck looked painful, man. Did you see that? That was like the size of a half dollar. Do you remember what a half dollar looked like? Wow.
I've read about him.
That was a painful-looking zit. My neck hurt just looking at it. It's like, ooh, somebody squeeze that bad dog. Give it some room
to
breathe.
You ever search that on YouTube?
His pimples?
Well, not his, but just the people that pop the big ones?
No.
Seems like something you'd enjoy.
Someone talk. We lost Max Mike here.
We lost Max. Yeah. So I thought my headphone only comes in one ear.
The microphone went out. I don't know what happened.
Here we go.
It's back.
All right.
My
Somebody
wife watches a show called Dr. Pimple Popper. I've never watched it.
I was just going to say that was a show that exists out there for people if they like watching that sort of thing.
Yeah. I see it in the guide. She records it. Oh, boy.
A lot of those aren't pimples, though. They're just like, I've seen it a couple of times. It's don't watch before dinner.
I love that. You got a plate of dinner. You're sitting down. What are you watching, hon? And there's a talking pimple on my television.
So I've never heard of this or seen it. What's the appeal? Like, I don't get it. Why do people
like
enjoy
being sick and twisted? I think it's for you. I don't know how else to describe it.
Really?
okay, there's not anything I'm missing.
I would not
watch
it. I don't watch it. I mean, when I was a teenager, I had horrible acne, and I took care of business when I needed to. And I also had a teammate who was happy to do that, too, Bob Helmer, our best player. He would go around in the locker room and grab, see a guy from behind, and the guy's got pimples on his shoulder, and go by and give real fast and real sharp, too. And it's like, you son of a...
Yeah. It's a good friend, though. If you can't, reach it in the center of your back,
yeah, appreciate that. I could feel one down here. Come on,
you need some help. Got your Bears reaction coming in from that press conference, and I'll say an underwhelming divisional round of the NFL playoffs.
Sure was
very unsatisfying. It's McNeil and Parkins on the Score.
I'd take him with the first pick of the draft if I could. I know he signed up to play baseball, but he is a dominant football player, and I would take him with the first pick.
Bottom of the hour on the Score, brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves return home this week to face division rivals Grand Rapids, Rockford, and Milwaukee. Wednesday is a craft beer arena crawl night, and Saturday is eSports night. Visit ChicagoWolves.com and join on the quest to be the last team standing. That was Cliff Kingsbury, former coach at Texas Tech, current coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
For now.
Saying when he coached at Tech before they were getting ready to play Oklahoma, that if he had the first pick in the draft, he would take Kyler Murray. Well, what a coincidence. The Arizona Cardinals have the number one pick in the draft, and Kyler Murray, today was the deadline, he has declared for the NFL draft.
I thought his early lean was baseball, was it not? He wanted a guarantee, right?
So the story's fascinating. It's taken a lot of turns. He was drafted in the ninth overall pick by the A's last season, got a $4.6 million signing bonus. They put in his contract, you could play one more year of college football because Baker Mayfield leaves. He gets to be the starter at Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley comes back. Hey, go be the starter. Live out your dream. No problem. Then he breaks Baker Mayfield's records and wins the Heisman Trophy.
Right.
And he's 5'9". He'd be the shortest quarterback in the NFL since Doug Flutie. But apparently NFL GMs are giving him a first-round grade. So
at 5'9".
At 5'9".
That surprises me.
Yeah. Well, but then Major League Baseball, they want the Heisman Trophy winner to choose baseball over football. So just because he's declared for the NFL draft today doesn't mean that he could pull his name from the draft or he could stick with baseball or whatever. The A's can give him a major league contract. It's been done before. Put him on the 40-man roster and give him another signing bonus to try to incentivize him and give him even more guaranteed money to choose baseball over football. And when Billy Beane and the A's executives met with Kyler Murray, they sent one of their bigwigs from New York, one of their marketing directors, to try to pitch him on the endorsement opportunities that would come with playing Major League Baseball, because baseball really wants to have this coup or win, whatever you want to call it, over football. But if Kyler Murray can be a first-round pick in the NFL, he'll make that type of money playing football.
I don't know anything about his baseball prospectus. What do people say about how good he's going to be as a baseball player?
He's already the number four prospect in the A's system.
Okay.
He's, like I said, ninth pick in the draft, center fielder, great athlete, very high defensive ceiling, should be a good on-base guy in theory because of his speed and athleticism, but who knows? It's a, he would report to single A ball. You know, it's a shot in the dark.
5'9" quarterback and in the NFL, man,
I know.
You see how hard Drew Brees at almost 6 feet has had to work to, and he's one of the greats of all time, but you can tell that he is always extending and craning his neck to try to see over giant men, and that's a skill unto itself, the way he has developed his passing.
This is it's 2 inches shorter than Russell Wilson, is what you'd be talking about here.
That's quite a handicap.
It is, but how I feel about it, there's really no bad option for him. He's already got over $4 million from baseball. Now, if he goes to the NFL and he forgoes baseball, he's got to give the money back. But as soon as he goes...
$10 says that money's gone.
I doubt it's all gone. And, I mean, he's got an agent. So
he was very popular in that Oklahoma locker room.
I'm sure he enjoyed himself.
Spot me a Zeno, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you
go, kid.
Different kind of college.
He's 20 years old. He's going to be passing it around, right?
I'm sure.
Free money!
I would hope so. Unless he knew this decision was potentially coming. But, yeah, he's going to make millions of dollars either way. And so just do whatever you want, whichever sport makes you happy.
We're all for people doing what they want to do, provided it's within the confines of the law.
But like I see so many like, oh, you know, well, football, it'll scramble your brain, or why would you want to go ride buses in the minor leagues, or the fame of the NFL? Man, I don't know what is important or not to Kyler Murray.
Do what makes you happy.
But what I do know is,
why would Todd Bowles want to work for the Buccaneers? Maybe he likes it there, okay?
Right. Well, what I do know is that Kyler Murray is flexing his leverage in a way that I really respect.
Very timely.
Exactly. He tweeted out a picture, like a mock-up of reenacting the old Bo Jackson picture, the black and white picture and shoulder pads with the bat across your lats. His Twitter picture.
You mean the Jeff Samardzija picture?
Yeah. Sorry. All due respect. His Twitter avatar right now is a split screen of him in an Oakland A's jersey and him in an Oklahoma football jersey. And he's absolutely playing up the two-sport card.
Good for him. He's found a way to make it, market himself and put himself out there.
Yeah, and there was a report that said that he said, yeah, I'll play baseball for $15 million.
That's what I'd heard, yeah, $15 million.
Good for him. Good for him, man. Go out there and get your money. 312-644-6767. Pete in River North wants to talk Bears. What's up, Pete?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Good, man. How are you?
Good, bud. All right. So, you know, I've listened to probably every press conference since that horrific loss last week. And, you know, I was
all two of them?
Last year, you know, when Nagy was coordinating the Chiefs, I feel like the second Travis Kelce came out, and I know there was a big fuss about it afterwards, his whole game plan changed, and it was a catastrophic mess. They couldn't move the ball. And I feel like his offense is kind of revolved around the tight end position. So this year, when Trey Burton was a game time decision not to play, and I don't know. I mean, I feel like the whole game plan changed, and our first half was totally conservative. It wasn't like the Bears. I feel like he was playing defense before anything else. It was kind of just relying on them before the game even started. Second half rolled around, Allen Robinson was beating him on some double moves, and maybe it was part of the game plan. I don't know, but I just wanted you guys to take on our first half play calls.
Pete, yeah, we talked about it a lot last week.
We were underwhelmed. Yeah, you should have been with us last Monday when we were doing the Bears' loss to the Eagles. We were talking all about Matt Nagy. We were optimistic about the future, but not overwhelmed in some of his things he chose to do and not do on Sunday night.
Yeah, he was just like he was chippy after the game. He was a little defiant today. He said something along the lines of, if you don't think I want to get the ball to Tariq Cohen more, we've got to work on something because you clearly don't know me very well.
That's what last Monday's show was about for probably 35% of it. Where was Tariq Cohen? Well,
four touches.
Yeah, maybe not quite that much. Only four touches. I think one carry, three times as a receiver. James White didn't have a carry yesterday, but they got him the ball 15 times.
So I had him in the
15 catches.
I had him in the playoffs of your league.
Oh, did
league.
You really? Our league. You're in the league. Yeah, That's how you had him on your playoff roster.
Well, so I was debating between him and Michelle.
Uh-huh.
And I figured I saw some numbers of Chargers, pass catchers from running backs. I was like, all right, I'll go with James White. They target him like 17 or 18 times. Mm-hmm. He catches the ball 15 times, but somehow doesn't get into the end zone, and you've got that 100-yard
right, didn't
bonus.
Make the boner, right.
So, yeah, didn't get the bonus, didn't get into the end zone, and Michelle got three touchdowns. Cost me
and 100-plus yards.
Yeah, cost me. If I would have picked Sony Michelle over James White, I'd be playing Championship Sunday.
You're not up for the league Super Bowl next week. You got popped.
I got popped.
I haven't read one email. I've been a bad league mate. I just I'm not participating in the Final Four this year, so I haven't been opening them. They just go right to delete, right in the garbage.
I gotta say, you're right. The playoff system is very fun.
The playoffs are a blast, aren't they?
Yeah, I still think it's a crazy league. I've never seen any rules like it. It took some time to adjust to it, but the playoffs are very entertaining.
You're going to come back next year?
Sure.
Good.
Yeah, if I'm invited, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it wasn't an audition.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, well then, yeah, I intend to be back.
You think we didn't make a roster spot for?
I don't know. There's lots of turnover in this league. So, you know, I hope to be back next year.
Yeah, well, I'm sure everybody would love to have you.
Yeah, but I had never done fantasy football through the playoffs. It was enjoyable. Do you think we missed something, by the way, speaking of the Patriots? Do you think we were part of the group that was just underselling them?
We were and we weren't. Yes, both of us have mentioned these Patriots don't create the fear factor they
Correct.
Had in recent years. But I know, speaking only for myself, or speaking only for me, I guess that would be the more correct way of stating it. I was not willing to take the Chargers yesterday. I was not willing to bet against New England. I said something on Friday's show to the effect that just because those two guys are still there, meaning Belichick and Brady, I don't have the courage to say San Diego Chargers, not even getting the 4 points they were getting. And Chopot wound up teasing them up. I don't know what Shep got them teased up to, but I'm certain it wasn't enough because that was an absolute evisceration.
Yeah, it got all the way up to 10. Not enough.
Not enough.
Gonna need more.
They thoroughly dominated in every phase of the game.
I thought the Chargers were the better team. They felt like it to me all year, but then you realize real quick in that game, you're betting against the Patriots in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah.
That hasn't worked for 14 years.
This is their eighth consecutive conference championship game. Do you know who's second on the all-time list of most consecutive conference championship games?
I do not.
The Cowboys. Five. Five is the closest anyone comes to getting to, and that was in the 70s.
Brady's been to an AFC title game 13 times in his career. Think about that. 13 times Tom Brady has played in an AFC title game. Doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I've never disliked the guy. I admired the success they have. And if they wind up going on to win it too, I mean, that would be something that hasn't done in many, many years, where the team that loses the previous year's Super Bowl goes on and wins it the following year. That hasn't happened in an extraordinarily long time. Super Bowl VII was the last time that happened.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You just had the anniversary.
The anniversary is today.
Oh.
We'll get to it later on. I'm sure you're going to slot a whole chunk of time for it.
As much as you need.
Yeah. The Dolphins, who had lost the previous year to the Cowboys, wound up beating the Redskins. So that's how long it's been since a team lost a Super Bowl, comes back the next year and wins it. That's weird. I never would have guessed that.
No, me neither. It's the dynasty that won't die.
It's the greatest dynasty in sports history. There's nothing close to it. There just isn't.
I agree. LeBron going to an NBA Finals 8 straight times. It's 6 titles in 8 years.
They're beating up on the AFC, and they're beating up on the bum-ass Eastern Conference like LeBron did.
It's a bum-ass division.
Yeah, they've made it that way. It has been. But to succeed at the level at which they've been to 8 Super Bowls, those two.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. I mean, Ian Rappaport reported before the game that there's a real shot that Gronk's retiring at the end of this season.
You know, I'm so exhausted from that story, too. It's like, you know, it really is that important. This could be Gronk's final game in Fox. So what? I mean, it's the Patriots trying to for one more. It's not about Rob Gronkowski. He's a great player at his position, and he'll probably go into the Hall of Fame, I assume.
They'll best have a tight spot end ever.
Might be. But for me, that's not the story. The story is how everybody had these guys left for dead, and they might wind up having the last laugh one more time. Another confetti shower for Coach Hoodie. Okay.
I normally love dynasties and greatness, but
Of his smugness?
I'll just point a thumb of him. I'm ready for it to be over. I'm sick of it.
I just
want to see something new. Yeah. It's been too long.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. He's 41 years old. They're all running around like slow and injured out there.
He's a freak. He's a freak.
The whole thing.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to watch.
I'll take this dynasty over any in sports. And that's that includes the Celtics, texters of the 60s. Someone said the Islanders of the 80s. The Islanders won four. Yeah, they won four in a
row,
too.
Yeah, yeah, Tanny loves that one. Come on.
Tanny's a big Dennis Potvin guy.
Well, yeah, especially, I mean, single elimination and everything that goes into that and football and how it's supposed to be driven by parity.
Speaking of the single elimination, I heard today again in Matt Nagy's news conference the abrupt nature of a playoff exit. It had been so long since we'd experienced it. Everybody, boy, it all ends so fast. Yeah, you think?
It's not best of three?
You think? It all ends so damn quickly, doesn't it? Everything's just taken away. We go dark. Yep, that's what a playoff loss in the NFL does.
I thought there was a rematch on Thursday Night Football. That's not how it works.
Right.
It's bizarre. It's McNeil and Parkins on the score.
This is 6-7.
And it looks like Troy, the Dallas Cowboys, with the ball just on the L.A. side of midfield. They're going to go for it here on 4th-and-1. That's a pretty aggressive call by Jason Garrett here this early in the game, just down 3 points at midfield. You like it? I don't like it. No, I don't like it. I know that the Rams move the ball against them defensively, but this defense, that defense for the Cowboys is what's going to win the game for them. Here's Elliott, and he gets it.
I thought immediately, there's a soundbite for the ages that is going to be evergreen forever. Do you like it? Pause. I don't like it.
Do you like it? I don't like it. No, I don't like it.
Ask a question, get an answer.
Segment.
Do you like
it? Do you like it?
And then you can just...
Do you like it? I don't like it. No, I don't like it.
All right.
Emphasis. If you really don't like it, I don't like it.
Give me the double, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
Can we edit it then to also get Troy Aikman saying, I like it?
Can Tanny edit it?
Yes.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not saying I could do
that
it.
That guy could
I
edit.
I don't know. I'd have to take out the don't. I'm not sure if that could be done.
Okay. That guy could edit that thing underwater.
All right. Well, then we have a game. I like it or I don't like it.
You like it? I don't like it. No, I don't like it.
All right.
Musical contribution by the Rolling Stones. I like it. Like it. Yes, I do.
Perfect. That'll work.
Okay. We're off to a roaring start. Abyss my ass.
You like it?
I thought the number two Fox crew did a pretty nice job yesterday. I'm a Kevin Burkhardt fan. I think
Kevin
he's very
Burkhardt
good.
Is pretty good. His voice sounds to me so identical to Mark Schanowski's from NBC Sports Chicago. I think Schanowski's doing the game. Yeah, I'm not crazy about Charles Davis. I don't know if he goes so far as strong as Troy Aikman did and say he doesn't like something. He's more complimentary than he needs to be.
Yeah, I agree. I know Charles Davis, he works hard, he grinds. He was double dipping for a long time doing college and pro. And when he got bumped up to the second pro broadcast, he's scaling back some on college. So I respect the work ethic, and I think they've got a decent chemistry. But Burkhardt is clearly the star of that broadcast.
Yeah, I think Kevin's got, of the young and up-and-comers, I like his sound more than the rest of them. Of the new voices, I like him more than I like Joe Tessitore.
Yeah, I know.
Of course, I could listen to Eli, and I would like that more. Not that Eli's bad at what he does. Are you kidding me? Simba, one day he's going to be king, and he just can't wait to be king. But he's pretty good. I'd take Burkhardt. That's fine. I found a Nance McCarverism. Yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. Now, maybe this is picking nits. I don't know. But I think it's fair enough to give it a spin and say, well, did he get caught? Did he really say that? This is during Patriots and Chargers, obviously. That's the game he did yesterday.
Well, this is also the Super Bowl crew, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. They're doing another Super Bowl. Well, this will be Romo's first Super Bowl.
Romo's first Super Bowl. So here you go.
Yeah. This is coming out of a break right before the Patriots touchdown drive. There's an injured Chargers player favoring his shoulder, and Jim Nance has commentary for you.
Adrian Phillips favoring that left side, left arm. He had two takeaways in the win against the Ravens last week. Big part of what they do in that secondary.
Really? a starting safety is a big part of what they do in the secondary.
I mean, you're nitpicking, right?
Am I really?
Well, yeah, I mean, if Adrian Amos went down, would you say that's a big part of what the Bears do in the secondary? He's a starting
safety.
It's
an obvious part of what they – he's a safety.
So your point is that anybody who gets hurt
– any starting safety is a big part of what they do in the secondary. Now, if he wants to take it another step and say he's a huge part of their defense – you know, they line him up all over the place. He plays opposite the tight end. He'll never get a free release because this safety is always doing unconventional things. And he's a big part of what they do defensively. He's a big part of what they do in the secondary. Really?
I just think that we say so many dumb things all the time that it's like,
nice to Jim Nance last month or 2 months
ago. That's a misdemeanor.
Adrian Phillips favoring that left side, left arm. He had two takeaways in the win against the Ravens last week. Big part of what they do in that secondary.
Big part.
Shep, if I've never told you this before, I'm going to tell you right now. You are a big part of what you guys do in that production room.
Well, thank you. Tanny's a big part of what the sound and engineers and goes on to this broadcast each and every day. I just wanted to pass that along.
Danny, you're a big part of the content in Afternoon Drive. Want you to know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, and as are you. In terms of the McNeil and Parkin show, we could not do it without your contributions.
See, you're getting it.
It's obvious, but I mean, they all say obvious things.
You know what I think? Here's what I think
happened. It'd be a good idea to score here coming out of halftime.
I think he was told things in meetings with Chargers coaches and didn't retain much of it or didn't understand all of it, the jargon, something like that. And he didn't trust himself to take it another step. He's a big part of what they do. He didn't trust his ability to articulate what makes Adrian Phillips a special player.
What do you want him to say? Oh, he's favoring that side. He's easily replaceable. Third and two.
He's one of their better players. He's one of their most aggressive defenders. He just had two takeaways last time out. Something to that effect, but he's a big part of what they do in the secondary. You know,
you're saying you get the same thing.
It's a shame about that injury to the Cubs' big chucker, the right-hander who got hurt last year, late in the season. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Who was a setup guy? Strope. He was a big part of what they did in the bullpen.
Big part of their pinch hitting and batting late in games, too.
Exactly.
All right. Too soon, Shep. That's ridiculous. Yeah, no, you're right.
He's a big part of their bullpen. He's the setup guy. Yes. A setup guy is a big part of a bullpen. As a safety is a big part of what they do in any secondary. 31 other starting safeties can say the same thing.
So are you saying you want to speculate on where Manny Machado is going to go since you brought up baseball?
He's going to be a White Sox, isn't okay. he? That's where all the signs are pointing. They're going 8 now.
It certainly seems like you will be. Also, or they're going 7, depending on which baseball reporter you listen to. Bruce Levine says they haven't gone above 7. One game from the divisional round that we haven't gotten to yet, we should spend a little bit more time on. It's coming up. McNeil and Parkin's on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.